IDUMC, greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy again to connect with all of you like this, okay, using technology. I trust all of you are keeping well by the grace of God as we continue on in 2021, that indeed you will continue to experience God's love, grace, mercy, strength, as well as wisdom to know what to do from day to day. I know in the midst of pandemic and the lockdown, many times it can be at times quite unnerving, if not even, friends, I know, weighing down upon us many, many ways like this. But I trust also, friends, in the midst of this kind of lockdown, sometimes if we're not careful, we can settle into comfort and convenience. And that's the reason why this day I want to speak to you about following Jesus. Comfort, convenience, or commitment. I want to take this from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. Let me read from the Word of God. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus restlessly set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was headed for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As he was walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Let us pray. Again, our Father, we thank and praise you for the privilege and joy together in your name, O God. Thank you for your word. You'll continue to teach, instruct us, and help us be built up in the ways of yours. And Lord, I pray you, by your Holy Spirit, take your word and speak to each one of us and draw us on in response, O God, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Friends, what is it like indeed as we work on in our journey of faith like this in the midst of the pandemic and the stretching that we go through many, many times? Is it one of comfort, convenience, or one of really commitment? And this is where, in the first place, friends, we're going to learn from the example of Jesus. Jesus' example in commitment to his mission, really. And this is where we read off in verse 51 of Luke chapter 9, where it says, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus restlessly set out for Jerusalem." Now, you and I must know, friends, when Jesus restlessly set out for Jerusalem, this is his last time going to Jerusalem. Going, in fact, to his death. Before his death, the crucifixion on the cross, the painful, friends, all right, frustrating pain that he has gone through in his life like this on the cross, the shame besides the pain, the jeer and the mockery he experienced there on the cross. In fact, more than that, friends, you know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he felt for a moment the Father, as it were, left him, that he did not really enjoy that deep, intimate fellowship with the Father all these years. Wherever he's there on the cross, he said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It must be the grief and the pain, friends, that indeed in so many ways would deter any human being from wanting to proceed on with that kind of mission. But friends, not with Jesus. He was resolute. He was determined. He was focused on fulfilling a mission that the Father has given him to do. And here's a lesson, friends, for all of us. When there's a mission before us, when we're faced with a challenge, with the dangers involved even, do we back off? Do we back out whatsoever? Do we give up completely? It could be something that we go through in our own experience. It could be maybe, friends, you know, to do with, for example, our work, or to do with our health as well. Maybe it could be a child of ours who's taken up with illness, and we pray and pray and pray like crazy, but no healing came. How is our response to this? Do we persevere? Do we press up? Do we still trust him that he's a good God whatsoever? Friends, it will not be easy, I know. But here's a lesson we can learn from the example of Jesus. In the midst of the pain and the shame, everything is going to face. He was Jesus, restlessly indeed, in pressing to fulfill the mission the Father has given to us. And likewise, friends, I trust this is the case for us. When we face something like this, friends, here's a lesson about perseverance that Apostle James has to tell us. Right, in James chapter 1 and in verse 4, James says to us like this, Perseverance must finish its work so that you will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Friends, as we persevere and press on in the midst of a challenge and a stretching, at the end of it all, friends, we increase and grow in maturity. We increase, become more holistic, more wholesome in every way, in our life, in our character, in our journey of faith. I think of this person, for example, going to great challenge in his life because of the illness of a son. He refused to give in, give up whatsoever, persevered all these years faithfully in the work of God, right, in caring for the family and doing all that is needful. Friends, you know what? Today, some 40 over years later, he continues to beacon of encouragement, inspiration to so many people around, that in spite of the illness of a child, friends, he continued on persevering and pressing on to fulfill all that God has given to him to do. He could so easily, friends, quarrel with God. Lord, why this? Why that? Why the other? Don't you know I've been faithful in serving you? But friends, no right instance of resentment, unhappiness, or anger with God. But press on. Choosing to believe this is a good God, even though I don't understand everything. But at the end, one day, we will indeed. But also being a wonderful example, inspiration to others by the faith and faithfulness they press on in this world. Friends, this is an example, likewise, modeled by Jesus for all of us to follow. Don't you, friends, we notice that Jesus' example in his commitment to his mission is indeed something you and I must learn and grow in and emulate. But also, secondly, friends, Jesus' examination of our motive in his mission that he wants us to fulfill. As we carry on the mission that Jesus gives to us, he time and again, friends, examine really our motive. And here's his instance in verses 52 through 56 of Luke 9, where Dr. Luke writes like this. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. You see, in the case of James and John were sent to this mission, to this Samaritan village, to get ready for Jesus to come. But they were turned off, they were turned away. Why? Because Jesus wasn't focused on going to that village. He was moving on. And because of this, friends, we find the disciples felt rejected in the process. And sometimes, you know, friends, as we seek to try to fulfill the work that Jesus has given us to do, it may not be easy. We may be rebuffed. We may be turned off or turned away, okay, by the people we're trying to reach out to. And so, friends, what is our heart, our focus in the process when sometimes we are totally rejected by these people? We try to reach out and share and make Jesus known to these people. And here, friends, it's so important for you to understand that Jesus' ultimate mission for us in following him is to get people to the kingdom, not for people's destruction. All right? This is what you notice when James and John was actually saying to the Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven as it were to destroy these people? They were rebuked by Jesus, friends. This is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. His love for everyone wanting to encounter and experience him. But there may be some who reject him, would not want him at all. I think, for example, of this person from New Zealand I was trying to interact and share with, all right, as much as possible about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't interested. Not only that, he was rebutting me one point after another point. It went on and on and on. And he's got so many questions to ask me. I said I felt myself really quite miserable in trying to really wrestle with him. At the end of it, I said to my friend, you know what? I don't keep on defending this God of mine. It looks like he's very weak, who need a human being to defend him. This God of mine is more than able to take care of himself, I said to him. I said, you know what? Why don't I offer you this challenge? You tell Jesus, if you're sincere, honest, and trust you will be, tell him, Jesus, actually, I don't believe in you. Not at all. But if you're real and true, show yourself to me. And I told him that, you know, if you're sincere and honest and really be open to really check out this person called Jesus Christ, I believe, friends, he will come with that kind of heart. He will show himself. He will break through one day and show really who he is. That's the kind of God that he wants to continue to reach out to us, to make known to us about who he is and his love for every one of us, in spite sometimes, friends, you know, of the posture of our heart that we are not open, that we are very, very much against, okay, all that Jesus wants to do in our hearts. So therefore, friends, that's the heart of Jesus. His mission for us to get as many people as possible in the kingdom and not to turn people away. And for those who are not open, not receptive, Let's move on to other people who are receptive, who are open indeed. That reminds me, friends, last year, August last year, during the RMCO period, I was taken by the whole group of great, wonderful people up to the hills, right, of Genting Highlands, right, firstly, to pray, right, for this great, wonderful plantation of 300 acres that they are replanting, right, trees in there so that they can harvest in something in 3-4 years time to serve as timber, right, for the industry in this country and for overseas export as well. I thank God, friends, because that's been my heart lately, concerned about the whole area of farming and agriculture. And so I try to encourage as many people going to it, because my concern is, friends, you know what, in the coming days, we might have a serious problem about food security, even here in Malaysia. See, the amount of food we import in Malaysia is horrendous. It's shocking, actually, if you know. Something like close to 60 billion ringgit a year lately we've been importing. And if there's this kind of lockdown, whatever the continuous extent on, we could be in serious shortage of food that will create, friends, not only anxiety, it can create, friends, great shortages all over and therefore in the process, friends, disruption to law and order in this country. So that's been my burden. Say, sure, okay, so I'll go, okay, and pray for this plantation. Then after that, we were taken to a vegetable farm, an organic vegetable farm, about 25 acres on the way up to Genting Highland. I said, sure, let's go and visit that place. And so, therefore, I was introduced to this farmer by the Ng Pak Chun. And chatted and talked, and he showed me, and there's a wonderful welcome sign. It says, Father's Organic Farm. What a wonderful name, Father's Organic Farm, like that. So, taken around, and he explained to us how he prepared the soil before the seedlings, the vegetable seedlings were planted, and then over time, to see how this vegetable grew so wonderfully like this for all of us, and even offered us to try his vegetables, so fresh, okay, so tasty indeed, it's amazing. At the end of it all, he took us, okay, to the kitchen, all right, whereby we all sat down, have a cup of tea, and served us lovely tea. In fact, that place is open for people who can stay there for a few days and enjoy the facilities there and other things besides the food that is available that located as well. And then when we sat down for tea, I said, okay, your Ng Pak Chun, so good to meet you, Pak Chun. I said, Pak Chun, you know, my name is Daniel Ho, as you know, I'm a pastor of a church. You're a very special Pak Chun. Out of 7 billion people, go to take a pastor to meet you in your farm, indeed. So we shared and talked, and I shared with him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here is this man, I believe, that prepared by the Lord in a one who is ready. Ready, why? Because he has got some 20 Myanmar workers, all Christians, and he even provided a chapel for them, where they could meet on a weekly basis for the worship, for the prayer, and whatever else that will take place or in that very farm itself. So I said, Pak Chun, you're just amazing how you provided for your workers. But now it is your turn as well, not just for your workers to go to a church, for you yourself to go to a church. Maybe you should take a step of faith today to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, he said, okay. And there and then, on the spot, friends, it was my joy and privilege to lead Pak Chun to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. But friends, that's what you and I are called to. Called to reach out to those who are more open, receptive. Not that we forget about those not open. We continue to pray for them. We don't give up on them. We pray, believe that God will break through one day. But let's reach out to those who are open so that as we share Jesus, it will be the great joy, isn't it, of you and I to lead them to faith in Christ and see them be full up and disciple in the life of the church and the fellowship believers. We trust, we pray by God's grace. Now, Jesus challenges us, therefore, about his example, his commitment to his mission. Jesus reminds us about our own motive as we seek, friends, to fulfill his mission. But third and finally, friends, you know what, for all of us, Jesus is concerned to tell you and I, therefore, in this regard, his exhortation about our commitment in following him. What does he exhort us about, all right, in this whole area about following the Lord Jesus Christ? Firstly, friends, the uncertainty about following him. If you say we're a believer, a follower of Christ, there is an uncertainty involved, and this is exactly what Jesus tells us like this, verses 57 and 58. As you're walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You see, Jesus is saying, right, even the birds of the air and the foxes, they have homes and places to return to, birds to their nests and foxes into their holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Meaning that, friends, even for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, all right, there is no certainty about rest and sleep for him, but he pressed on to fulfill God's work and God's mission for him. And this exactly, friends, a reminder to you and I likewise, as we follow Jesus Christ, there is an uncertainty. And will we be willing, in spite of uncertainty, to keep on, to press on in following the Lord Jesus Christ? It reminds me of this man by the name of Eric Liddell, an amazing man from Scotland. This man, in fact, very committed Christian as well, was born in China. After 5 years, okay, later he was taken back to England to carry on his primary and secondary school studies and went on to university eventually. But also, he's a very fine committed Christian. In fact, he was such a good runner. Okay, God has wired him in such an amazing manner that he says like this, God make me fast so that when I run, I feel his pleasure. But he also says, I run the first half of the race as fast as I can. And then with God's help, I ran the second half even faster. See, the amazing thing is that he's one of the fastest runners, short sprints in the world of 100 meters, 200 meters. But then what happens at the Paris Olympic Games in 1924? The 100 meters, the heats leading onto the final, they were held on a Sunday. And as a committed Christian, you see, he's not willing, right, to break as it were the Sabbath law, Sabbath rule to take part on a Sunday. And therefore, he's not eligible, therefore, to take part. And will probably win a gold medal, all right, in the 100 meters race. And so they signed him up for the 400 meters, in spite of all the pleas by Olympic officials, as they put aside your religion, your represented country, go ahead and do it. Said, no, sorry, excuse me, all right, please respect me for my faith, my belief. And so therefore, right, although he was not really trained as well as he should for, but he went for it. Just before he started the race, someone slipped him a piece of paper where he says that 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, he who honors me, I will honor. He went on, went into the finals. At the finals, he was an outermost lane. And when the gun shot off, he shot off like a bullet. And he ran as fast as possible, right, with all the strength and energy God has given to him. And if you're the outermost lane, actually you're at a disadvantage because you don't know where the runners are behind you like this. Because if you run too fast, too quickly, all right, soon when you bend, turn around the corner, people overtake very easy because you have that disadvantage, okay, out there like this. But you know what? He ran with all his heart. People were shocked. He continued, kept up the pace so that he won the race and broke the Olympic and world records 400 meters at a point of time to the shock of everybody, all right, and the great rejoicing of the people of that United Kingdom. Here's a man with all the honors, athletic honors and fame that has come his way. He gave that all and packed off and went to China, back to China, to work as a missionary from 1925 to 45 before passed away at an early age, where due to that of tumor in the brain, as well as that of overwork and not enough food, as it were, during that time. Because why? China in the early 90s, there's a lot of uncertainties. Law and order is a real problem, right? Banditry, kidnapping and killing is a common affair all across China. You know, friends, in spite of all the uncertainties, he stepped in and trusted God and pressed into the world. Friends, for all that, today we are still talking about him. In fact, there's a movie made about him called Chariots of Fire that came in 1981 that won 4 Oscars, actually. Maybe some of you watched it. But friends, you know what it is? In following Jesus, it will never go to waste in spite of uncertainty. He has a wonderful example, Eric Liddell, for all of us. Not only that, Jesus talked about priority of following him in verses 59 and 60. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is not saying we should not go back, right, and bury our father and then come back. Jesus is not saying that. In this instance here, the father has not died. In other words, he is willing to wait. He's going to take his time to attend to all the family matters and affairs before finally he will say yes and come and follow Jesus. Jesus is in the economy of God in his kingdom and his work takes priority over that of family affairs, even like this. He's not asking us to be negligent, okay, irresponsible family affairs. But friends, in the priority of life and living, Jesus is reminding us and challenging us. Do we follow him out of comfort and convenience? Or do we follow him out of commitment? And so here, friends, is a challenge and a reminder to all of us, what do we put first in our life? And here, friends, walking, following, committing to Jesus must come first. It reminds me of this lady. She felt a call of God. Do you want to step out and move on to be trained theologically and to go full time to serve God? Share with the family members. Family members are not Christians. Parents not Christians. Of course, they were quite upset with her. But then at the end of it all, the father finally said to her, fine, I'm willing to meet this preacher, all right, this gentleman, if it is okay, to hear from him all these things about what does it mean about serving God full time. So eventually they met up this wonderful preacher that I personally know of, sat down and have a chat with him. At the end of the chat, you know what? The father, who is not Christian, says, yes, I'm willing to release my daughter to go for training and to go and serve God full time. More than that, I want to support my daughter. Friends, you know, what a fantastic example of generosity and sacrifice on the part of the father who is not a Christian. And friends, what a lesson, as well as what an instruction to all of us. Isn't those of us who are Christians, sometimes we're unwilling to let go of our children to serve the Lord. Sometimes God's work takes less priority than it should really, isn't it? Friends, here is a lesson, a reminder to all of us. What must come first in our life? Friends, you know, even in the midst of this pandemic like this, do we respond out of comfort, convenience, or sometimes, if we're not careful, out of complacency or out of commitment? Do we gather together to honor, put God first and His work first, and continue on in spite of challenges we might face in our lives? That's the second lesson, friends, about Jesus' exhortation to all of us in following Him. But it's a third thing about Jesus' exhortation for all of us, the urgency of following Him. And so here, verses 61, 62, right? Dr. Luke records, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Friends, again, Jesus reminded all of us that like a farmer who puts his hand to the plow, right, he must look straight, look forward, and continue on because of the urgency involved in making sure the plow is straight so that when the seeds are sown, what happens, the growth will take place eventually of all these that have been sown so that the following year, there will be the harvest that the farmer will be able indeed to harvest because otherwise there will be problem. There will be famine in the process. There will be no food for them and for their family like this. In those friends, you know what? Jesus is reminding all of us, all right, about the urgency of His work, not only the priority that it must come first, but how important, how urgent it is we must give ourselves to, so that by the grace of God, we begin to see God just moving us on in a deeper manner to see His kingdom advance in a powerful manner. I think of an example of this friend of mine by the name of Iman Santoso, Indonesian brother, a wonderful man of God. When Iman was in his fourth year medical studies, he felt God calling him and challenging him to go full time. And likewise, at that time, as a student leader in university, right, he felt that indeed he wants to respond because of the urgency, right, of the work of God. You know what, friends? When he told his parents to tell his parents that he was really going to move on, right, to want to serve God full time, of course, to the horror shock of the parents. But eventually, the parents agreed and willing to release him. Iman pressed on, as it were, for many of us in the Malaysian context, we would say, sayang, isn't it? But friends, you know, Iman pressed on faithfully in honoring and loving and serving God because he went for theological training, all right? Eventually, Iman himself also got a PhD in theology. In fact, so today he's likewise, okay, Dr. Iman Santoso, faithfully serving God in a wonderful manner. But friends, you know, today, some 40 years later, his life, his contribution, his ministry has been a great blessing, not only across Indonesia, but around the world as well. This man has touched so many, many lives. Okay, in a word, because why? He felt the need to step out in faith to trust God because of the urgency of God's work. Friends, that's a reminder, challenge to all of us, isn't it? How do we take to God's work? Is there a sense of urgency that we want to give ourselves to? Whatever we may be, it may be given to us, friends. In church, outside of church, in our workplace, in our school, college, university, wherever it may be, friends, is that a primary focus and urgency to ensure that the work of God is done, to ensure that we bear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, friends, I believe, you know, one day when we look back, we will never look back in regret, but in gratitude as to what God has done in our lives. And that's the reason why this man by the name of Jim Elliot, a missionary to the Indians there in Ecuador, when he went as a young man in his 20s together with a group of four others with him. The moment the plane landed, they were speared to death by this group, of Aqua Indians there in Ecuador. All right, and people around were shocked, when that happened. What a waste. What potential had just been destroyed like this. But more than that, you know what? Jim Elliot has this to say, and has remained to us to this very day, after many, many decades later. He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You see, we may seem to give up certain things and we say, what a loss. But friends, that which we give up cannot be compared what we'll gain at the end of it all. That's what I think of our brother Iman Santoso. He goes on likewise to say, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. See, friends, when we trust God and leave the choice to him at the end of it all, whilst humanly speaking, it may seem to be a loss. But friends, God knows what is best at the end of it all. You and I can never outgive God. Right? God will never, never in any way shortchange us, friends. That one day when we look back, we will be not only surprised, we'll be truly overwhelmed by the grace of God that has given you and I the privilege to serve him in the midst of uncertainty, right? In the midst of demands that he comes first as priority, but in the midst of so many pressing needs that his kingdom takes as the greatest urgency for us in our life, friends. We'll be so grateful to God when that takes place. And I trust, friends, these will be something which will serve as a reminder to all of us in the midst of this pandemic like this, not to settle into comfort or convenience or even complacency sometimes, but in a commitment and a greater commitment to honor, love, serve, and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and extend God's kingdom, because many need the Lord, many to encounter him and experience mercy's love, goodness, security, and assurance in a wonderful man. So let's do this together, friends, by God's grace, with God's help and power. Let us pray. With his powder eyes closed, even as you listen, especially for those who are not yet Christians, who do not yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. That this day you like to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. That Jesus is right here with all of us. He has shown the example, willing to give his all for you and I. They give us, all of us, therefore, a hope in the future. So if you'd like to, I want to lead you in this prayer of faith. All steps involved in trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Firstly, acknowledge you're a sinner. Secondly, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, ask him to forgive you. And then fourthly, invite him into life as Lord and Savior. When you take that step, the simple step of faith, you become a child of God. So if you'd like to, I want to lead you in this prayer. You follow up to me in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for my sins. And come right now into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and your power. And give me your love, joy, and peace. And enable me from today onwards to live as a child of yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, for those who pray this prayer, you seal it deep in every heart, every life, and bring this new birth and new life to pass. Enable this to be followed up in the life of the church here in UMC, that they will learn and grow, be part and parcel of the life of the church. And that they in turn, Father, I pray, will reach out to bear witness for you in a wonderful manner. And now, Father, I pray for all of us, oh God, here at UMC. Continue to enrich us and bless us. Guard us, Father, I pray, for comfort and convenience, so we have settled into complacency, that we will be renewed with greater vigor and commitment to what to honor, love, and serve you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting an example of commitment yourself to all of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, O God, that you will also examine our motive in our seeking to fulfill your mission, but most important of all, that you remind us, Lord Jesus, O God, in a wonderful manner about the whole area of the uncertainty following you, that there is always, Father, O God, security, rest, and trust in you, priority as well, urgency, O God, we fulfill your work, your mission. So that one day, Father, as we faithfully do it, we know, oh God, when we look back, we will never look back in regret, but in gratitude of how you have blessed us, of how you have stretched us, of how you have built us up, oh God, to be men and women of God that will honor, love, and glorify your name. So bless us all, Father, I pray in all of these, O God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, for those who prayed that prayer just now, the first prayer to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, would you get in touch with the church? Right, the raise hand button, would you click that? Okay, and so that someone will follow up with you and help you along in the journey of faith. All the rest of us, God bless you all richly. Have a great weekend and a great week ahead. God bless you all.